We're going to continue our walk through 2 Timothy, and we're going to particularly look just at verse 13, really, of 2 Timothy 1. It says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Hold fast the pattern of sound words, or someone said, "Follow the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul, he tells us in the letter to the Corinthians that the apostles were made spectacles of them, and one after another they were hung up to die, or we believe that the Apostle Paul was imprisoned and then he lost his head, and they suffered terribly. And Paul was writing to Timothy to say to Timothy, "Listen, don't be ashamed of us." You know, it's like the couple that have been into court over not wanting to do that cake in Ireland. And we haven't got to be ashamed of them. We've got to pray for them. They've stood out for what they believe is right and what they believe the Bible teaches. We need to pray for them, and that God would be with them. Throughout the Bible, we are given a picture, aren't we, of separation and a reminder that we are different. You see the children of Israel there in the wilderness. They were separated from the rest of the world so that they could be a picture to the rest of the world of who God's people were and what they stood for. And it's the same with us, and we struggle with it at times, because it's far easier to go with the crowd than it is to just trust the Lord. We read there in 1 Thessalonians, there's lots of verses that talk about it. Paul says to the Thessalonian church, "Finally, dear brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know that the commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." He's saying, listen, and he goes on to say, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from." You should be different to the world. There should be that line in the sand. "This is a line that I will not cross." Timothy, says Paul, keep yourself from all appearances of evil. Never be ashamed of our Saviour. Never be ashamed of your brothers and sisters who have been ill-treated by the world, as if they are all rags to be discarded. Don't be ashamed of them. There was a time when sometimes I would see the open-air preachers preaching in the town, and sometimes they were not very organised. I remember seeing a lady down the town, and she was singing hymns, and they didn't sound good. And I felt a little bit ashamed. But nevertheless, this woman had woken up that day, and in her heart, she wanted to stand and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. She may have needed a bit of advice to maybe do something different. But nevertheless, she wanted to tell people about the Lord Jesus. And no matter how professional you are, I remember our Sam, we went to a singing night. It was in the Neaton, and it was in what we call the Grip. Sixth Form College. And we said, "Look, we'll go and we'll support you." And I didn't really want to go to this place. And we sat in this room, and there were people there. It was a typical social club. And Sam sang one of his songs, a song about a geek and a nerd. And it went really well, and everybody enjoyed it. sung a song about the gospel. Very clear gospel. A reminder that from creation that we have rejected Christ. Well, I can see the people commenting. This isn't a place for that. This is ridiculous. Who does he think he is? And you can just feel the atmosphere. He sang well. It was pitch perfect, if I'm any good at judging that. He was my son, and I thought he was amazing. But you see, the world didn't want it. They weren't interested in it. But you see, as I sat there, as when he sat there, I think Sarah was there, we were dead proud. Not of the song he sang about the heat and the mirth, which is really, it's a good song, the lyrics are great. But the fact that our lad was unashamed to sing in this social club the gospel. Whether that is the right situation, I don't know, but nevertheless, he sang. Are we ashamed of those quaint Christians who come to know the Lord and they just want to share the gospel? We should be praying for them, shouldn't we? The world hates the gospel. We read there in verse 11 of 2 Timothy 1. Timothy, I am where I am because I was appointed a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. This is the reason I suffer. This is the reason I'm in prison. For this reason I suffer these things. Nevertheless, Timothy, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed, what I have deposited to him until that day. Have you deposited your soul in the hand of God? You know one day that you are going to stand before the eternal because he has hold of your life. One man wrote to Paul, he said, Paul, the forsaken prisoner, looking for death, has been bidding his young comrade never to let his heart sink or his spirit grow faint when oncoming dangers threaten to crush him. Timothy, don't be disappointed. Don't be fearful. For he said, you know me, and my seemingly ruined fortune and blasted hopes. I am broken. And it's as if that the world has got rid of me. Friendless and alone. You know, I am awaiting death, Timothy. And yet in spite of all this crushing weight of sorrow which has come on me, because I am a Christian, yet I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have trusted. I know his sovereign power to whom I have committed my deposit. He I know. He will keep it safe against that day. Paul had entrusted his deathless soul to the keeping of his heavenly Father. And having done this, serene and joyful, he waited for his end. You know, we get so taken up with the problems of life, don't we? Just one little thing, or one big thing, and our life falls apart. And Paul says this is wrong. Because you see, we should be in the hands of the Saviour. The Saviour, we should be in such a place that I think there's someone. Oh, there we go. Come in. Welcome in. We should be in such a place that we shouldn't fear about tomorrow. But you see, the problem is, we haven't got confidence in God. That's the problem. You know, I have driven cars. Well, in fact, Sam was a door spike. Catholic converted that off this week. And he drove in front of me, and I had no confidence that car would get to where he wanted it to get to. But it did. It just about got there and it was all fixed. But I have total and utter confidence that my God will keep me until that day. And then he turns to that verse there in verse 13. And he says, Timothy, listen. I've asked you not to be ashamed. I've asked you to trust. But what I want you to do is hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. What I have spoken to you, what I have shared with you, I want you to hold tight onto it. You see, we're living in a day of visual things. I know Becky does these, well, I don't know, earrings and all sorts of things. Swanky Doodles, it's called. It's on Facebook. You can pay me for the advertising. But they're all very colourful. All these colourful things. People's eyes, they're attracted to colourful things. We're attracted to films. We're attracted to moving things. People don't want words anymore. People don't want to read books like they once did before. And if they do read a book, they don't want it to make them think. And you see, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, Timothy, I want you to think. I want you to have time to consider what you have. How often? When was the last time you sat down and you considered what you have in Christ? You know? Your washing machine's not working. Your car's broken down. It's tough at home. And all the rest of it. We fill our minds with all these things. But when was the last time you sat down and actually considered what the Word of God is to us? And I'm talking to Christians now. I don't expect that if you're not a Christian. I don't expect you to read the Bible. Which would be lovely if you did if you weren't a Christian. Because you see, it's the Word of God that will bring you life. But the Apostle Paul says, listen, I want you to hold fast to it, echo, retain, hold tightly to grasp, hold tight to the pattern, the example, the standard, the structure, the model. I have set the pattern out. You memorize it. You sink it deep in your heart. Let it fill your meditation. Timothy, I have given you something that has been given to us from God that you need. And you need to keep it before you at all times. Lionel has a book in a minibus. And it's there at all times. So if you drive the minibus, you put your name and the date and the mileage. So that you cross a red light or if you go too fast, there's a record. Of who was driving at that time. Keep it there. Keep it in the minibus. It's not to leave the minibus. So that we have a record. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a little bit lost or you've had the most inappropriate footwear on or you've gone walking. And I remember years ago we went with the children and the mother-in-law to a copper mine. I think it's called Sigun or something like that. Up in near Snowdonia. And after coming out, we walked up the hill a little bit, but it was a little bit too much for my mother-in-law, so we said, look, do you mind, Sam and myself said, do you mind if we carry on walking up there? And it was a nice, bright day, and Wendy and Sarah and the mother-in-law went back down and had a cup of coffee, and we went on. Well, we had a great time, and we're chatting away, and we found some Wimbris, and we're eating these Wimbris, and oh, it was lovely. But there were so many paths, and they all looked similar. And being my usual self, as my mother-in-law aptly says to me, you can be a little bit cocky and arrogant. You think you know. You think you know. You may be wrong. Well, I followed that path that I thought was right. And well, the further we came away from the hill, the further we were away from the car park that we was heading for. And it was a really long walk. Sam had little legs, and I had my flip flops on, I think, and it was just. We went on and on and on and on. Hopefully there were lots of windows at the side of the road. But you see, we need to know where we're heading. Just imagine being at that moment of death and you do not know where you're going. I can't think of anything more frightening. Timothy, you've got a truth that you can share with your people. You've got a truth that you can share with your folk, those who are going to die at the hands of Nero. Those your children that have lost their parents because their parents have died because of persecution. You've got a truth that can feed their heart and soul. Feed them with this truth. Preach, preach, preach. Doesn't matter how you feel, in season and out of season. Listen, Timothy, it doesn't matter whether you're down or whether you're tired or you're ill or frustrated. You need to preach the truth to feed the people. Timothy, follow the path laid down before you. Don't deviate. And I am the one for deviating when it comes to it. I love, when I go on holiday, I don't mind the motorway, it's easy driving, but I love to go on the country roads. I remember one day, I said to our Wendy Griffin, you direct us, and we were going to South Devon. I remember saying, I'm sure Yeovil isn't where we meant to be going. Frome, I think it was, we were heading towards. I said, I'm sure that's a different direction. No, that's what it says on the map. About 50 miles out of our way. I think she had the map the wrong way around. And you see, the map, the word of God is there. And we need to concentrate upon it. And the only way we can concentrate upon it is to get rid of all those things that distract, as the apostle says in Hebrews. Get rid of all the weight that easily besets you and follow. As the children of Israel, someone did mention this week about me mentioning children of Israel, but I must say I will continue to use the word. The reason being is this: the children of Israel, when they came out of the promised land, were relatively young, because all the old folk had died off. Because most of the old folk, there were still some older folk like Joshua and Caleb and that, they had rebelled. So there is this fresh group of, I suppose a lot of them were in their 40s and 60s, that isn't young, is it? But nevertheless, there's a newness about them. And so the children of Israel, as they came out of the promised land, and just to remind you, as I said, they're not little babies walking through the promised land, these are adults. But as they walk out of the promised land, they face it without their old leader, Moses. So the Lord speaks through their new leader, Joshua. And you read there in Joshua 1 verse 7 these words. He says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. There's prosperity. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel now, but there is prosperity in reading the gospel. There is prosperity in hiding the word of God in our hearts. And the prosperity is this: that your life might fall apart. Your marriage will not be what you wish that you hoped for. You may not get that job that you long for. You may not ever get that car or that machinery that you long for. You might not be able to do that hobby that you long so much for. But what you will have is the presence of God in your heart. You will know the comfort of God in the most difficult of circumstances. There's nothing like it. There is nothing that will satisfy your heart more than the presence of God. Retain, he says, follow those wholesome, life-giving words, the true doctrine. We find at the end of Paul's letter to Timothy that he exhorts Timothy to guard the deposit entrusted to him. Guard the word. I remember in my first church, the criticism of me was this, that I based everything upon the Word of God. I'm sitting there in a lonely, all alone in Baltimore when he was there, and they criticised me for standing on the Word. And I'm thinking, I don't understand this. Because I know that's where all my security is. That's all I face in life is found in the Word of God. It's my food, it's my sustenance, my everything. Because you see, the Word of God takes me to my Saviour. The Word of God reminds me of what my God has done for me and what He prepared for me. But the question we need to ask ourselves is this: what has been entrusted to Him? What was it that He had to guard so closely? Well, it's the truth. You see, he's saying, listen, I want you to hold fast to the truth. We live in a day where there's no such thing as absolute truth. It doesn't matter. Things can change, everything's changeable. But you see, the Bible teaches us very clearly. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Everything is held together by the Word of God. This book here reminds us and shares with us all about humanity. This is the book of truth. The reason the church in general is so far from what it once knew is because the truth is no longer its conviction. There's a thing on the internet called Babylon Bee. And there are some very funny things on there, but at the same time it's tragic. Because this man is taking the mickey out of those churches that are not where they should be. Those churches that are preaching a gospel that isn't truth. And it's so sad. They're holding on to the truth. I used to think, my old minister, and I used to think ministers that I knew as I was growing up were a bit staid and a bit restrictive, and I used to think, why are you so tight on these things? And you begin to realise that it's so important. You know, not all of you. So remember when we had seat belts first came in? I was about 17, 18. I wasn't wearing a seat belt, I needed it. What am I wearing that for? You know, who are they to tell me to wear the seatbelt? They've saved so many lives, haven't they? Now they've got them right. You know, there was a problem with the lap belts at one stage, but they've got them right, and it's so important. You feel so vulnerable. I know when I get on the motorbike sometimes, you can wear the seatbelts. You can't wear the seatbelt on the motorbike, can you? And you see the Word of God. He's there to protect us and to lead us and to guide us. How many times have we not trusted the word of someone and we've regretted it? They said, don't do that, or don't go there, don't climb on that, don't touch that, don't open that box. And we look back and we've got scars, haven't we? My parents have a box that used to be on that piano. I don't know if it's still got it. But this box has got a little cat on the top, and it was given to us from a lady when she was a missionary in Brazil. And you'd always say that if you thought someone was a bit cheeky and a bit, you'd say, well, don't open that box. And you'd pull the lid across, and you'd always pull it a bit fast. They wanted to see what was inside. Well, as you pulled the lid, a wooden snake came up with two sharp prongs, and it stuck in your finger. It was a bit sharp. And you'd say, oh, I said, don't open the box. You see, the thing is, Paul is saying, listen, you have to hold on to the word. How much more should we trust the word of He who knows all things? How much more should we trust the word of He who is beyond all things, created all things, is altogether lovely, abounding in mercy through the cross, yet will one day judge all things, and nothing will be able to stand in His presence apart from those cleansed by the blood of Calvary. Durbar Evangelical Church stands on the truth, and all that we do is guided by that truth. That truth laid down for us in Holy Scripture. That's what we're about. If you don't have the truth, you have nothing. This afternoon, God willing, we'll be standing on the street, standing on the steps there, and we'll be having a time of worship. What is the point if we don't have the truth? What's the point of anything? Richard Dawkins, isn't it, that says that we, humanity, is just but slime on the surface of the world. Is that what we are? Is that what your heart cries out? Some of you are not Christians here this morning. Some of you come and you come and enjoy the presence of people here. Some just come as a religious thing. But your heart and mind cries out that there is a God. You cannot look into the heavens and say there is no God. You can't do it. It's impossible. You see, we were created in the image of God. We were created to worship Him. And without Him, we are nothing. Apostle Paul says, listen, Timothy, hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The apostle said, listen, even within the church, there are those that are desiring to walk away from the things of God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And I say to myself, when was the last time you signed up to a brother or sister and encouraged them in the way of the Lord? When was the last time you shared with a brother and sister what God has done for you? Is God doing things for you? Do you know the word of God in your mind? Can you tell me? Take little verse of scripture. I'm not asking you to memorize it. I'm not asking you to say, be able to find it at a moment, but we can find places in our Bible. Are those pages worn because you're seeking the presence of God? You know, if you want something badly enough, you'll do all that you can to get there. I remember in my first church when we went, we had a plot of land. And that was so encouraging when I went. And I remember getting organising a man to come and make a desire for a church. And I remember him saying that if someone has such a desire, then we'll beat a path to the door of that church. Right in the middle of a house and say, sadly, the elders didn't want to. They didn't want to build that church. They didn't want this place where we could exhort people to come. Because they have no desire. I ask you, is God working in your heart? I believe God can build that church. We didn't have the money to build it. But believe with all my heart, the minute we start digging those footings, God will bring the money in. Do you believe that? Do you believe in the power of God's word? Do you encourage other brethren, sisters in the walk of holiness? Do we exhort one another? Some need a phone call daily because of the pressures of life and temptations. These temptations today are huge. Are we aware of one another's needs? We need to be encouraged to hold fast to the truth. The truth that leads to godliness. Verse 14 says that God, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Over the years in the church, there has been a steady attack on the need for theology. And now theology is the study of the doctrine of truths of the Bible. And people get, oh, it's this scientific language. Well, what it is it's all about understanding God's revelation, in revealing himself. As you read the Bible, you begin to see God revealing himself to mankind. And it's so simply put. It's there to share with you your history. And the question is, do you grasp it? Have you seen it? As you've read its pages, do you witness God working? Do you read the Bible? That's a big question, isn't it? You know, if imagine there being a way of reading people's minds. I'm so glad that isn't the case. Just imagine if we could say, I don't know. Now we're going to put Samuel Martin Owens' mind up on the screen, and we're going to see all that he's watched and all that he's read this week. And oh, and there's Scott. That's interesting. Yes, yes, yes. And oh, and there's Mark. And there's Owen. Oh, there's Owen. Look, Owen. Oh, he moaned about and he was cooking this week. That's not very good. But do you know what I mean? If imagine that happening. What you want to realise is this. God does see in our hearts. He knows exactly what you've read. He knows exactly what you've seen. He knows exactly what you're thinking. So you're not kidding anyone, and I'm not kidding anyone. Because it's all about our desire. I know people who will say, I can't read the Bible, and yet they will read hundreds of other magazines than that. There's no excuse. If we have a difficulty reading, there are lots of aids to help us in our grasping of the knowledge of God's word. Do you know? Do you understand? Have you seen God at work? So many in our churches now don't want to hear the deep truth. They have no appetite for it. They just want a little start. They don't want the solid meat. Yes, I have a bit of pudding, but I don't want the solid meat anymore. We don't have to be super intelligent to understand the truths of the Bible. We just need to be alive. Our eyes need to be open. Paul reminds Timothy later in chapter 4 verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will listen about to anything. Don't tell me about the truth of God's word. Timothy, this truth has been deposited, entrusted, committed to you. But you cannot do it alone, verse 14 says. You are to keep it as the Holy Spirit enables you, as he dwells within you. Romans 8 verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us. So in his power, he says, guard that treasure you have been given. Are you aware of the Holy Spirit in your life? That's a massive thing. If you're a Christian, you should be. The God who fills the universe has taken residence opens the Bible up, he makes it alive to you. My calling as a pastor is to encourage you as a church in the truth, to enable the church to go forward in the truth. I have no other job. That is why total and utter calling is that the truth will set you free. And you will know the presence of that wonderful Savior will feed you and bless you and guide you in all you do. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we pray that you would lead us and guide us. You know our hearts this morning. Father, we pray that each one of us would have this burning desire to be guided by your truth. Yes, churches have constitutions. They're important. Churches have rules. They're important. But Lord, they are not to be there to be used as a beating stick. Lord, we have the word of God to feed us and to build us up and to grow us in grace. Lord, we have the word of God that we are to share with one another and to encourage one another and to build one another up. Lord, we pray that we would understand these truths. And Lord, as your people, that we would grow in grace. So, Father, we pray that you would be with us, encourage us now. In the name of our blessed Saviour. Amen. 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 Our final hymn is, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name. The earth is filled with your glory. O Lord our God. Father, we do pray that you dismiss us with your richest blessing. Oh Lord, that we would hold fast to the truth. That Father, if we are not where we should be, Lord, that you would draw us into yourself again. If we need someone to come alongside us, that Lord, that you would lay it upon someone's heart. Oh Father, if we don't know you, Lord, that this may be the day when we'll call upon your name. Father, we ask these things in the name of our wonderful Saviour. Amen.
Amen.